Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbilly, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, slavery or involuntary relocation. should slavery be taught and described historically and academically as involuntary relocation? From the New York Times, Republican lawmakers try to reframe Texas history lessons and play down references to slavery and anti-Mexican discrimination that are a part of the state's founding, the rock that it was built on, right? Y'all know about the Alamo and all that stuff, right? Proposals in Texas, a state that influences schools' curriculums around the country through its huge textbook market, amount to some of the most aggressive efforts, they say, to control teaching in American history. So Texas is very tight on controlling people. All right? They say they come as nearly a dozen other Republican-led states seek to ban or limit how the role of slavery and pervasive effects of racism can be taught. And want to play down this whole, this is a country that was built, became strong, rich, off of slavery and racism. I don't know why they want to do that. Well, maybe I do have an idea. Anyway, Idaho was the first state to sign a law, right, that would withhold funding from schools that teach such lessons. This is really crazy because people just go to the legislation, write up a law, and they start whipping people with it. Is that what the legislative body is designed for in a so-called democracy? You just go there, whip up the law you want, then beat the people across the head with the legislation you just made. Seems to be a lot of that going on nowadays, and I'm sure it's not the first time it's happened, right? Lawmakers in Louisiana, New Hampshire, Tennessee have introduced bills that would ban teaching about the enduring legacies of slavery and segregationist laws, or that any state or country is inherently, right, racist or sexist. This stuff's already on the book, so I don't know what they're gonna. What's next? They're gonna burn some books up because that's what it sounds like. They're gonna ban books from being publicized or made, you know, because people do read, people do research, and some of this stuff is just common knowledge. It's not even like, yo, you're too late. Anyway, the idea is that history is a project that's decided in the political arena is a recipe for disaster, says Raul Ramos, a historian at the University of Houston. He specializes in the American West. He's, okay, doesn't sound like a Caucasian guy, but I don't think anybody cares about Raul Ramos' opinion, right? Except maybe guys like me and, you know, some of the listeners. Anyway. Seems like we are well on our way to a full-blown dictatorship. Does anybody else kind of get that feeling? I mean, if you look at the history of black people in this country, we've been under a dictatorship tyranny since we, you know, been a captive here in this country. Whether indigenous or from Africa, whatever. Have been under this dictatorship. Slavery. What the hell is the problem? What is slavery? And how can you talk about it in a way that doesn't do that? You are not expressing these ideas that these guys are saying, don't say that. It's like saying, don't mention sex when you talk about a rapist. It's like, it's incredible that they're even having some of these conversations that I hear that they're having you know, in the legislative arenas and getting laws passed to perpetuate these ideas. Anyway, slavery. Definition of slavery is the practice of slaveholding, the state of a person who is held in forced servitude. Servitude means you're going to serve somebody, you know, they're making you do it, right? It is a situation or practice in which people are entrapped as by debt and exploited. Okay? Chattel slavery, right? Slavery in which a person is owned as a chattel, right? That's a chattel is an item of tangible, movable, or immovable property, except real estate and things such as buildings connected with real property, right? So chattel slavery, as we know, that's the form of slavery that was practiced in the Americas. They owned them brothers and sisters, those men and those women. But before I begin to the thing about slavery and teaching, and you know, I'm going to get on soapbox. First, black folks, if you're within earshot or you can download this show whenever you want, it is your responsibility to teach your history to your children, your family, your community, and your people. In order to teach your history, you have to learn your history. It doesn't begin with slavery. As someone said, in order to know where you are going, you have to know where you have been. Learn, baby, learn. Right? So that's my little soapbox thing, you know. Anyway, and I'm serious about that, you know. Stop depending on other people to teach you about you. Slavery or captivity in America is the story of an American Holocaust perpetrated on black people, right? It is a horrific experience. And I don't know if people know, you know, that's how America did. Free labor, slave labor, and they just came up with the cotton fields and all, you know, the major producer of world cotton. You know, that's how they blew up the banks and everything from the South, having this thing called slavery, right? Chattel slavery, right? Because slaves weren't getting paid attention, right? Anyway, it's a horrific experience. This is a no-brainer, but we don't live in a world of rational, factual, truth-seeking, and sharing people. Apparently, people's feelings are more important than the actual truth, and some genius thought it best to clean up the crime scene before studying it. That is obstruction of history, education, information, and the truth. Seems all you have to do is get a law passed to protect your feelings from the truth, force or indoctrinate everyone to accept your idea or ideology because it makes you feel better. The truth is, slaves were subjected to every type of sin, criminal, sadistic, psychopathic, sociopathic, evil, twisted, perverse, monstrous, sick act you can think of. Being forced into a life of extremely hard labor is just one of the horrific scenarios. Sexual mutilation, rape, heterosexual and homosexual, dismembering, burning, hanging, beating with a whip, torturing, breeding, inbreeding, separation from the family, selling of family members, murder of offspring of a victim of plantation owners. Heard about that. I heard they even killed the mother sometimes. The wife would kill the mother. Anyway, forced experimentation on pedophilia, right? So, I probably left some things out, but you get the picture. It was a horrific. This thing was like your worst nightmare, except you can never wake up from it. You can't wake up from it. Man has you, has rule over you as you are property, and they are cruel. They are very cruel masters. Sick, cruel masters. Brutal. It's a fact. Who would be a slave just because somebody brought them over here? And, you know, who would stay in that? Anyway. There were these things they said season and plantations were in the Caribbean islands where buck breaking took place. Now, other sources say there are no slave narratives or documentation about open or public sexual assault of defiant male slaves. And buck breaking is this thing where, yeah, I said, you're a defiant buck, which is a black male slave. They took you, beat you, strip you of your clothes, bend you over a log, sodomize you. Sodomize, in back in those days, only meant male penis going into a male's rectum, right? That's sodomy. And they had laws against that, even for white folks, right? It was very serious about that, and like you could be killed for that back in those days, right? So, it's saying that they argue that sodomy was perceived as a heinous crime. Therefore, no white man or plantation owner would openly expose their homosexual behavior in public like that in front of the whole slave population and invite other plantation owners over to engage in sexual rape of the defiant black male. They say this is not true, or they're saying it's not proven. We don't have any proof of that, right? So, but I don't know. I wasn't there, so I can't personally say it wasn't true, but there's a lot of people talking about it, and it seems to be people talking about it not actually occurring. So, not to say that homosexual rape did not occur. They say it just didn't occur in the fashion that it was all the slaves come and watch, and if plantation owners come over and rape this buck slave, right? They said that didn't happen. It happened in private. They said if it happened, it didn't happen in front of the total slave population and other white plantation owners. Oddly enough, murder and rape were perceived as heinous crimes, punishable by death also. But that didn't stop them from doing those things to our black folks either, right? From 50 Shades of Slavery, sexual assault of black male slaves in antebellum America by Derek K. Perkins, April 24, 2017. Dr. Matthew Kruger, T.A. John Corplong, right? Just took a little bit of that. This is male slave owners use sexual assault to dominate, dehumanize, and emasculate male slaves in American antebellum South. There is a general consensus that only women were subjected to violently lustful assault of slave owners. A close analysis of the narratives of Olada Equanio, Harriet Jacobs, and Frederick Douglass, y'all know that guy, right? Revealed the underlying issue that male slaves were going through similar situations in sex. They say the forcible sodomy experienced by male slaves is a possible explanation for present-day homo negativity within the African-American community. Now, I'm going to go right ahead and disagree with that because these people already had, cultures that before when they first came here. They were people. They came from civilizations, right? So forcible sodomy or homosexual rape should be feared, and African American men do not come from and have a culture of moral and ethical guidelines, codes, commandments that condemn homosexuality. So forcible, any kind of intercourse, I'm sure is feared. Heterosexual, homosexual, or bestiality, I think we got a right to fear that if you're in a situation where you can't do nothing about it. Why wouldn't they have a negative view about what the Creator described as an abomination or something they view as unnatural and degrading? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're gonna fear that. You're gonna even hate it. So the homo negativity, which is relating to sodomy, but these guys don't believe that a man should have sex with another man, shouldn't be going up in another man's behind, right? So they're going to feel negative about that behavior, right? Particularly if it's forced. Still, they say there is no time period documentation describing public buck breaking. Yet there are many articles today that reference buck breaking in the Caribbean. For example, Leaf Builder's account of buck breaking in North America, describing buck breaking occurred when American slave masters grew angry about African male slaves being defiant. As a result, the masters used flogging and male or male rape to discipline and emasculate the slave in front of family and the slave community in which he was a part. Even more humiliating, the slave masters would invite other white homosexual males to participate in the atrocities, sodomizing act. After the humiliated slave would be coerced by the slave master to wear his trousers without a belt so that they'd sag, which served as proof, like branded cattle, the slave had been aptly broken in. Needless to add, it was the ultimate emasculation of the African male slave for being defiant toward his white slave masters. So here we have a conflict in academia about this whole how buck breaking took place, private or in public, right? And up until the part that is no documentation, everything seems consistent with what else happened. You know what I'm saying? Except for this accident, sex happened in front of everybody like that, right? I saw a thing on YouTube where a guy said he couldn't even get hard in front of people. Well, there's a lot of people that could get hard in front of people. That what you can't do has nothing to do with it. So, as an individual, so that's not even a part of. That shouldn't even be a part of whether or not that could occur or not. Anyway, in private or in public, in front of one slave or 10 slaves, a man has been egregiously sexually violated by a monster pretending to be a man. If sagging pants is a symbol of subjugation, having its roots in brokenness, being defiled, being sodomized physically, socially, spiritually, morally, and ethically, loss of manhood or feminized, made low, and vulnerability. I can see that. But can those who subscribe to this fashion statement see the exhibition of vulnerability and exposure? Remember, the saying, ass out, referring to being vulnerable and exposed. So we don't want to spend too much time arguing about this. Oh, did it happen? Did it not happen? Well, we know it happened. Maybe not in a constant. One person's arguing what context it happened in, and another is arguing, is presenting another context it happened in. But one thing they all are saying is that it did happen, right? Out history says, on colonial America, the age of sodomitical sin. So a lot of raping on God going on here. So they had women over here. So they said the years from 1607 to 1783 constitute the founding era of what became the United States. In the early years of this era, in these colonies, the penalty for sodomy was death, and a number of executions were documented. Sodomy was usually conceived of then as anal intercourse between two men, as I said, right? So this is the argument that God wouldn't do that in front of the whole slave population and some other white plantation on God. But they said he's inviting other homosexuals over. He's not inviting a guy that is not in agreement with what he's doing. So I don't know. And the slaves ain't going to rat you out because that's a death sentence. But why was sodomy thought as treason against the state and punished so harshly? And what do we know of sexual and intimate relations between women in these years and the laws and responses to such intimacies, right? They said our history directors are interested in hearing any further documentation of executions as well as other colonial cases of same-sex sodomy and intimacy. They want you to contact them, right? So sodomy law, Plymouth, June 6, 1671. So these people are very serious about the sodomy. That's why this guy's saying, hey, he wouldn't have done that for anybody. He would have done that secretly. But I don't think it was no secret back then. You did that to a slave, and well, how do we know it now? Well, it was a secret, right? So it wasn't no secret. Wasn't kept a secret. So I don't know. It seemed like they could do actually what they want to do, depending on where you were. You could have. If everybody was of the same mind, you probably could invite people over to do that in front of the slave population. They wasn't going to say nothing. I could see it happening. But God said it's no documentation. You know, of that. So, anyway, the General Court of Plymouth added several capture crimes to the list that was listed in 1636. The new law also qualified the sodomy statute, making persons under 14 and the party to forcible sodomy exempt from death. So, if you're under 14, you're exempt from death. Now, maybe it's where they get this thing for these kids escaping these crimes, they are under 14 also. I don't know. The further qualification that all other sodomitical filthiness, they called it, shall be punished according to its nature may have meant that anal penetration was necessary for the death penalty. So they wasn't playing because they call other things types of non-penetrative sodomitical or sodomy acts, such as mutual or public masturbation, were not published so severely. So this back in 1636, 16 crimes punishable by death: idolatry, right? Blasphemy, treason, conspiring against the jurisdiction, attempted invasion, insurrection or rebellion, willful murder, sudden murder and passion, murder by guile or poisoning, witchcraft, bestiality, that's sleeping sex with an animal, sodomy, back then male on male sex, right? Anal sex, right? False witness, man stealing. Anybody got laws against man stealing and they got slaves. Could somebody help me? Cursing or smiting father or mother. A rebellious son, rape, willful burning of house or ships, etc. I can't even tell you how frequent rape was back in those days. That rape is also prevalent in the United States, just so you know it, to this day. Prevalent. Anyway, if any man lies with mankind, this is what the thing for the provision for sodomy. If any man lies with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. They both shall surely be put to death, unless the one party were forced or be under 14 years of age, and all other sodomitical filthiness shall be surely punished according to the nature of it. So these guys, by law, you know, they call that the Puritan law. You can tell that came from the Bible right there, right? And that being said, an argument can be made that murder, rape, man-stealing, willful murder, sudden murder, and passion were like sodomy, punishable by death. But these acts were known and documented to have been perpetrated on the captive population. These acts continued after the Civil War. I'm thinking these laws only relate to white people, and that slaves were not afforded protection under the same laws that white folks were, particularly because they were kidnapped, raped, and murdered. The madness did not stop after the Civil War. It simply took on a new form. Note, amid the madness, black people often fought back, but that is another show. And I'm gonna cover that on another show, what they actually did, you know, and the progress that black people made under the tyranny of slavery and racism and madmen in America. History on the net says the slavery practice in the United States prior to the Civil War was the legal establishment of human chattel enslavement, primarily, but not exclusively, of Africans and their descendants. Chattel slavery is so named because the enslaved are the personal property of the owners and bought and sold as commodity, and the status of slave was imposed on the enslaved from birth. That means you don't have no intergenerational wealth. What you get from generation to generation is the opportunity to live and toil, be raped, hopefully survive sickness and all these other things, you know, maybe fall in love with another slave, another captive. This form of slavery is in contrast to other forms such as bonded labor, in which a person pledged him or herself against a loan. I owe you $50. Okay, I'm gonna cut your lawn for a month. All right, so I got you, or 2 months, you know, till my debt is paid. Okay, don't beat me, don't kick me in the head, don't rape me, right? You don't have a right to do that. I'm not George, you can't sell me to your next door neighbor, right? In chattel slavery, the limits of slave punishment were only set by the masters, as they had legal right to do whatever they wished, legal right to do whatever they wished. Therefore, slaves in the American South experienced horrific levels of brutality. Right? So these guys can do what they want to do with you. The black slave, all right? They're doing what they want to do. They own you. I want to put my couch on the north side of my room. I can put it there. I want to put my couch on the front porch. I can put it there. I want to sleep on it. I can do that. I want somebody else to sleep on it. I can do that. It's my property. I can do what I want. I can loan my mule out to whoever I want. You want to borrow my mule, Junior? Here you go. All right? So, property. The slave would be punished for resisting slavery. That's doing what's right. Now, depending on how you looking at this here, a slave is punishable for doing anything he's supposed to do as a human being to get himself out of that situation. He's punished for that, right? Resisting slavery, not working hard enough, doing something that he had no control over, because hard enough for you, it has nothing to do with what my body can do, right? Talking too much or using their native language. Using your native language, that means that gives you the ability to plot and discuss things with your people, your fellow captives, and, you know, maybe it's escape. But they can understand what you're saying, then it makes it harder to plot and conspire against the plantation owners, these monsters that call themselves people, civilized people, right? So it's harder to do that. So you can't use your native language, because the more you that can communicate with each other in a way that they can't understand, that's a threat to their power maintaining of slavery. Fat, right? Stealing from his master. You can't steal from the master. You got the nerve to steal from him. What else will you do, right? Murdering a white man, of course. You can't do that. Even now, and I'm not saying it's okay to murder white people, but it seems like people, when if you murder a white man, you know, do anything to a white man, it seems to go a little worse for you. Trying to run away. And you see, can't run away from this. Everything you do that you're supposed to do, right? Back then, you were a slave, you murder a white man. Of course, you murder a white man because you're trying to get away. So in relationship to being a slave, and that is what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to murder the man that's raping his people, maybe raping him, beating him, torturing him, dismembering people, all this nonsense, forcing people to work and things like that, threatening people's daily life, daily. That man is not supposed to be left standing. So that man doing the right thing, murdering that man. I don't care what color he is. So you got to defend yourself against a white man trying to kill you, and you murder him, you're going to suffer the consequences, right? Trying to run away. You cannot run away from this. It is from coast to coast, depending on how long. Well, depends on how, you know, from what, it was up and down the East Coast at first. As you know, the Native Americans are still, farther west. Slave punishment included being put in shackles, put in various contraptions. I've seen pictures. You got to go look this stuff up. There's some weird stuff that was putting people in weird positions, and you won't believe that somebody would do that to a human being. But then again, I guess we will believe that, because we kind of know about slavery. But you got to look at it, man. It's weird. It's like, yo, somebody just had time to sit around and think about these type of contraptions. Being chained to the ground, right? Of course, we all know about being whipped. And I'm going to talk about that later on, because I thought it was just being whipped. Man, but it's more to that than being whipped. And a bull whip, that's enough. Being forced to walk on a treadmill. That's something like that. I don't understand that, but I guess you're going to be walking all day. And it must be a punishment if you get off of that treadmill. I'm thinking of being hung and left to die. This is hanging you up somewhere. That's that medieval stuff, my brother likes to say. That medieval stuff. Just hang you. You know, it's like being hung on a cross. Just be there. So if they hang you, your lungs start to collapse, your chest. And start to collapse on your lungs, your breathing, and you know what happens when you're crucified. So if you're just hanging up there, nothing to hold your feet or anything like that, you're gonna basically suffocate, right? So these are very brutal things. Some of the very brutal things that took place at, you know, back to the title. These guys wanna go into this thing where we're going to sugarcoat this cake. We're going to put some icing over it, some cherries on the top, strawberries, and call it involuntary relocation. You know what I'm saying? We're going to teach our kids that these black people were involuntarily relocated to the United States. Billy. Plantation owners often made the other slaves watch the punishment to prevent them from slacking at work or trying to run away. So that's fear. That's fear. Anybody trying to call in? Please call in on the guest call in. 516-531-9540. Okay? 516 531-9540. Press number one if you want to speak. All right, so here the idea that other slaves were forced to watch the plantation owner administer punishment to the captive slave is documented. It is also evident that what you did to a slave hardly compared to what you did to a white person. It is a known or acknowledged documented fact that homosexual rape did take place. The only question is, where is the documentation of a more public breaking? Black people were known to orally keep and tell their history. Could the accounts of buck breaking be a part of an oral tradition? I mean, I don't know. Because why are these people telling the story that other people are saying, hey, that never happened? It's no, or they're saying that there's no proof that it happened. Let me put it that way. From list verse. Talked about the 10 horrible punishments for slaves in America. So this, you know, forced labor. Everybody's talking about forced labor. It's more, even the forced labor part was more brutal than, hey, I'm going to make you go to work. Hell, forced labor, we had to get up and clean the house every Saturday when I was a kid. So is that forced labor or is that learning to be responsible? These guys are taken, right, in the chain, right? Not taken care of, not being taken care of, just trying to stuff in these boats, stuff in these, what they call them, barns and stuff like that, you know, doing all kind of stuff to them, you know. That's not forced labor. That's kidnapping. I don't want to go with you. I don't get to go home. I don't get to see my people. I have no power. You can do whatever you want to do. You can beat me to death if you want to. You can rape me. You can rape my children. You can cut off my leg if you don't like what I'm doing. You can poke my eye out or whatever kind of nonsense. This is stuff I guess these guys don't want these kids to know about. And I'm sure they don't want them to know about it because they don't even want to say the word slavery, which is doesn't really quite describe what happened to these people. Like whippings, right? You thought it was okay, he put a bull whip, you seen Roots, why y'all? You know, you had to take about 10 lashes or something, I don't know. And white men used to get lashes too, you know what I'm saying? But we ain't talking about them. Slave got lashes, right? I just learned that slaves, when they got lashes, when the wound began to heal, the owners ordered that the wounds be split open and that products such as red pepper and turpentine be applied to the gashes. Now, what kind of, that's a monster. One owner ground a brick into rubble and dust, mixed it in lard, and had it rubbed into the wounds of the slave. So it ain't even just a whipping. These guys are just monsters. Mutilation. Slaves were often expected to work in exceptionally difficult physical conditions, especially in the fields or cotton plantations. Other slaves worked in the masters' homes and were expected to be well-groomed and clean. You know, they're supposed to look better because, you know, you've been home. They were using the light-skinned ones, probably the offspring of the master or some master, right? Light-skinned, they favored light-skinned slaves in the house. Anyway, slaves had, in cases where slaves had fought each other or resisted the owners or overseers, it was common for the owners to order bodily mutilation, right? You get in a rumble, it's bodily mutilation. You know what mutilation is? They're going to cut something off you. You're going to lose a limb, a piece of skin or something, right? It involves cutting an ear or slicing at the flesh. Cut you. Wham! Right? More severe examples include amputating limbs, gouging out eyes, cutting hamstrings, or even castrating both males and females. So, you know, in many cases, the victims did not receive medical treatment. Some died from infection, blood loss, and other complications. That's what we got. That's what we're dealing with. Hey, branding. And I'm surprised that people brand themselves all today. Like, I see like people institutions of higher learning and these organizations, they brand themselves. And branding refers to searing on the flesh with a heated metal instrument. This type of torture was typically done to denote ownership. Large companies often branded their slaves to make them easily identifiable and to prevent the theft or resale of the slaves, right? New Orleans had developed the largest slave market in America, which placed innumerable people under this decree. In the South, branding was a common punishment for the runaway slave, right? Other identifiable mark was seared into the slave's face. Because, you know, you can hide a brand on your shoulder, your butt, and your back, but your face is usually, you know, not covered. That prevented you from being assigned to any house for serving work, right? Smoked alive. The common practice used in Virginia, slaves bound and whipped in the smokehouse. Then he created a fire from tobacco stems to suffocate and smoke the slaves as future punishment. Hog's head. I didn't know what that was. Now, it turned out this Moses Roper guy gave an account of that. He was an African and Native American mother who was a slave to his English father. He's born of his African and Native American mother, right? His mom was African and Native American, right? Anyway, it said they would hammer nails into a large barrel and left the nails protruding in the inside. The slaves were stuffed into the barrel and rolled down long, steep hills while the owner and other slaves watched. All right, this is what they want to say is involuntary relocation. I mean, it's all involuntary. That's true. But involuntary relocation, I don't think so. Anyway, suspended beneath a cooking fire. This guy used to punish. His favorite punishment was to tie up a slave, suspend him above the ground, and start a fire above him. A fatty piece of pork was cooked by the fire. Then the burning fat dripped onto the bare skin of the slave. These are monsters. These are not the acts of men. I mean, they are men, but they are monsters. Sorry for the confusion there. Anyway, George Washington, y'all know who that is, right? Leader of the Continental Army, first president of the United States, was declared fan. He was a fan of whipping and other corporal punishment for slaves, but he also supported the demotion of slaves who did not work hard enough and the sale of repeat runaways, right? Demotion or sale. That was a punishment, another punishment. They sold you to somebody worse, right? Many slaves who worked in less physically demanding conditions, like in the house of those light skin, if you did something wrong, put you out on the field, right? That's a demotion. In worst cases, slaves were sold at cheap prices to owners who were known to treat their slaves poorly or even work them to death. Involuntary relocation. Really? Any of that sound like involuntary relocation to you guys? Because I don't get it. Public burning. Punishments were often made public. Other slaves were forced to watch as a warning that they should behave or be disciplined in the same way. Public punishment. It's interesting. At times, other owners or people from nearby towns came to watch as a form of entertainment. You'll see that with continued in the 20s with the lynchings, where you see a whole, look like it's a fair, county fair. They all there to hang a man. or two, burn a man or two, or this or member a man or two, and they're taking pictures, men, women, and children, you know, like it's a picnic. You know, and I said that's where they said that's where picnic came from, pick a nigger. And, you know, he meant somebody. That's how this thing is a bunch of sickness. And what are they trying to hide here? Because in order to heal, you have to identify a sickness. You know what I'm saying? So if America is sick like that, then we have to identify the sickness in order to address it. So the white folks not going to be able to address the sickness if they don't identify what the sickness is. They don't see it, how it's working through the society, to culture, to politics, to business interactions and things like that. So after slavery was abolished, public lynching and hangings continued into the 20th century. Right? They want to call it involuntary relocation. One horrific method of punishment was public burning. Slaves were either tied to a stake or a bubble of fire. Some slaves fainted or passed out from smoke inhalation before the fire began to consume their bodies, but many were tortured by the flames before they finally died. Listen to that. Long-term chaining. I mentioned that too. It said these long lines of slaves were shackled together to perform menial tasks in unison. This was the origin of the chain gang that became infamous in the U.S. prisons. So you can see that slavery has its roots in a lot of things that were formulated and established in the United States, right? Post so-called slavery, right? Afterwards, several slaves were discovered in horrific conditions. There was another incident where an elderly female slave who had served as a cook supposedly started the blaze in a suicide attempt. She had been shackled to the stove with the cooking fire, right? After that, several slaves were all that. What happened? She put the house on fire, right? Fire broke out, right? In 1834, right? They found, after they came into the house, they discovered horrific conditions in the house, in the attic, suspended by their necks. They were standing with their limbs chained in a way that stretched and tore them in the attic. They hung some brothers and sisters in the attic. You know, forced reproduction, of course, we know what that is. Slaves frequently endured severe sexual harassment and assaults, including rape. There were no laws to prevent this. That's why he was the owner of you. So nobody tell you what to do with your mule or your captive slave. Male slaves were also abused and forced to sleep with various women. Sound familiar? Does any of this sound familiar? They were forced to have sex with other slaves to produce more children. Usually slaves could choose with whom they would have children, they said, but matchmaking record exists that there were based on that were based on physical characteristics. So, you know, the best, strongest slave and the best, strongest look like childbearers. So I'm guessing they're looking at big butts, big breasts for the kids and more milk, I guess. I don't know how that works, but maybe big breasts mean more milk. I don't know. Anyway, from Tustin.com, a group of Texan educators has submitted a proposal to the State Board of Education to describe slavery to second graders as involuntary relocation. Do any of that sound like involuntary relocations to you? Involuntary relocation really only covers the kidnapping of human trafficking aspect of it, they said, right? I say it's not covering the kidnapping part at all. That is why kidnapping is called kidnapping and not involuntary relocation. Involuntary relocation sounds like you had to move or a set of circumstances, flooding, construction issues, the property being sold or demolished, force you to leave with the assistance of the government. You don't leave soul bound or chained as someone's property or cargo in involuntary relocation. Definition of chattel slavery, as far as back in history can be traced, slavery has existed in some form. Chattel slavery, or the owning of a human being as property, able to be bought, sold, given, and inherited, is perhaps the best known form of slavery. Enslaved people in this context have no personal freedom or recognized rights to decide the direction of their own life. Your life is not yours. All this stuff they're arguing about in the Constitution now, you ain't got a wooden nickel in that dollar. African American Registry, right? Guy by the name of Ponce de Leon. I heard about him back in school. Don Hernan Cortez. That might be Cortez. It's the same guy. Christopher Columbus, right? And others brokered kidnapped Africans, right? Not relocated Africans. Get the hell out of here. From Africa to support the Middle Passes to what became the United States. You find a chattel slave as an enslaved person who is permanently owned and whose children and children's children are automatically enslaved. Chattel slaves are individuals treated as complete property to be bought and sold, right? The breeding of enslaved people in the United States was the practice of slave states of the United States, of slave owners to systematically force the reproduction of enslaved people to increase their profits, included coerced sexual relationships between enslaved men and women or girls, forced pregnancies of enslaved people, and favoring women over young girls who could produce a relatively large number of children. Y'all hearing this? The objective was to increase the number of slaves without incurring the cost of purchase or to fill labor shortages caused by the abolition of the Atlantic slave trade. Okay, when they, all right, y'all can't bring no more folks over here, right? It closed the borders to slavery, right? Chattel slavery was supported and legalized by all other white European governments and monarchs. This type of enslavement was practiced in European colonies from the 16th century to the 19th century. Law Insider says involuntary physical relocation means a mandatory movement of people with no choice whether to stay or leave is given to said people, or when their choice to stay is not appropriately taken into consideration. Right? So, but slavery is hardly involuntary relocation. Involuntary relocation sounds more like gentrification. Gentrification is a process whereby the character of a poor urban area is changed by wealthier people moving in, improving housing, attracting new businesses, typically displacing current inhabitants in the process. So to teach white children about, or any children, about the actual horrors of slavery would be to teach white children about their monstrous white ancestry. Somehow, I don't think that they plan to get that real into American history. In fact, renaming slavery as forced relocation is an indication that they will not be revealing the dark events of the not-so-distant past to shield them from the trauma and inhumane treatment of the black man in America, so-called in American so-called civilization. So it could give second graders nightmares and upset the apple cart. They might connect the dots of what happened then to the dots of what has been happening now. I get it. More sweet lies to protect the sanctity or goodness of the white race. We don't want any white folks feeling guilty or sorry for these Afro-Americans, right? So they're going to soften the blow. They're going to parachute history. It's a big-ass parachute, right? From the New York Post. Second grade class in Texas would and Texas would use the term involuntary relocation to describe slavery under a new proposed social studies standard, leading to objections from education experts. Is education, sounds like education and indoctrination are the same thing. It's like they like, they ain't even cousins. They like twins. And the way these people are perpetuating it, they don't really care about the truth. A group of non-educators advised the Texas State Board of Education to make the changes as the Lone Star State develops new curriculum for students. It's roughly 8,800 public schools, which occurs about once a decade, the Texas Tribune reported Thursday. The board, with unanimous consent, directed the work group to revisit that specific language, right? They propose calling slavery involuntary relocation, right? The 50-member board will consider curriculum changes at this summer after state lawmakers passed a law last year to eliminate topics from classrooms that made students feel discomfort, with the final vote expected in November. So, is it me? Board member Acha Davis and Democrat representing Dallas and Fort Worth, I'm not sure how to say the first name, A-I-C-H-A, right, insists the proposal language is not fair representation of the history of slavery in America. Wow. Note the current common theme of not making people feel discomfort. Now, that's going, so you feel discomfort, so now we can just write a law and make you feel comfortable, right? What people are they referring to? White people or white children? Legislation is being passed to hide the truth, reality, facts about something in an effort to protect the feelings and or historical character of a group of people. Slavery is not a fairy tale. It is a horrific nightmare. Black people have been feeling discomfort for about 500 years, and that is describing it in the most gentle way, because discomfort is likened to relocation. And neither begin to tell the true story of chattel slavery or post-chattel slavery in America. Are we kidding? I always thought Roots was a soft interpretation of chattel slavery. I always thought that was soft. There was some soft stuff, you know, going on with Roots, because, you know, it just seems soft. From the grunge, what life was really like are for slaves in America, right? And you can bet from the things I've already read, you know, these are different articles. The reason I'm giving you different articles is just not coming from the one source. You know, they talk about documentation and stuff like that. You know, we wasn't there. We don't really know. But you know what? I know one thing. Nobody's going to submit to that unless it's something worse waiting for them. Nobody's going to submit to being worked to death unless it's something worse. They're being threatened with something worse. And, you know, the only thing worse than that is killing you or killing your kid, your husband, the people you love. So, anyway. They talked about Texas Declaration of Secession via the American Battlefield Trust directly tied its status as a U.S. state with maintaining and protecting the institution known as Negro slavery. That's the same thing as the black person, you know, in the United States. The servitude of the African to the white race within her limits, a relation that had existed from the first settlement of her wilderness by the white race, and which her people intended should exist in all future time. These people are madmen. It also condemns the debasing doctrine of equality for all men, irrespective of race or color, calling it a doctrine at war with nature, in opposition to the experience of mankind, and in violation of the plainest revelation of divine law. This is what you say, but people who have the power to legislate their ideologies and whip people over the head with them, indoctrinate, force, or coerce people to submit to these things. Sometimes people don't have the backbone to do what they need to do to fight back. Don't have the backbone or the information. I said that sort of blatant reversionism arguably reflects a broader whitewashing of slavery. Per NPR in 2015, textbooks at Houston High School described the Atlantic slave trade as patterns of immigration that brought millions of workers from Africa to the southern United States to work on agricultural plantations. Look at this. Now, that should be illegal. Anybody bastardizing, lying about history, right, purposely. Like, this is like, you know, of course you can get some things wrong. I'm not saying that. Like the thing about the buck breaking, I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. You know, wasn't there, and nobody, present day, was there. You know, so you're looking for documentation and stuff like that. Maybe documentation don't exist. I don't know. I can't even answer that. But this right here, you know, we all know. This is common knowledge. That didn't happen. This sort of historical gaslighting isn't new. Frederick Douglass's 1854 memoir took an aim at the myth that slaves happily sang while toiling in the fields. Man, nobody does that now. Right? Nobody. Who's happily singing while you working hard? Sun beaming down. You want to get out of that sun. Who does that? PBS writes that by 1830, slavery was mostly sustained in southern states, and about 90% of the slaves lived in rural settings. The specific circumstances vary, but the system operated under the unifying premise that slaves were considered property, and they were property because they were black, right? Killing slaves was rarely considered murder. Killing slaves was rarely considered murder. Does that sound familiar? And raping them was treated as a form of trespassing. You aren't anything. That's like somebody walking in your house. They went up in your house. They went up in a slave. Ain't that something? The woman had no option to say no to their owners, who often used them as sex slaves, right? Slaves lived in abysmal condition and often died of them, right? So you had to be pretty strong. You know, they talk about it. You know, hear that thing about the lazy slave and stuff like that. Well, if you got a slave, that means you the lazy one. Because why you ain't doing the work? Why you not doing the same work he doing? So slaves work for lazy white people. Their quarters left them vulnerable to elements and disease. Those who worked in rice fields spent hours standing in water, in the blazing heat, and often contracted malaria, right? With inadequate nutrition and particularly non-existent care. They wouldn't have health care for these brothers. They ain't got no health care plan or nothing. Slaves were left to fight off illnesses with little more than a power of will. But there was no time to rest. Sick days didn't exist because slaves weren't workers. They were property, right? The child mortality rate among the slaves was 90%. Children who survived were ripped away from their parents and auctioned off. Families were systematically torn apart. Whippings, tortures, maimings, and incarcerations were common punishment for slaves who tried to escape, weren't being productive enough, or weren't subservient. How dare you speak up against me? Some may try to find less lawful examples to argue slavery wasn't always so cruel. But this is like citing Stockholm Syndrome in defense of kidnapping. That's when the person identifies with the person kidnapping, you know. That sounds weirdly familiar, all that stuff. Texas seems to be a very scary place. I wonder how they feel about black folks now. How much of that ideology still lingers in some white Texans? So remember that slavery is a practice of slaveholding, a state of a person who is held in forced servitude. Servitude means to serve somebody. You a slave, do as I say, right? Told that wagon, dig that field, bend over, right? That's what a slave does, right? Whatever he said. Let me borrow your wife for a minute, boy. I'll bring it right back. That kind of stuff. The situation or practice which people are entrapped as by debt and exploited. All right? Because that's that right there. That C definition that they got on Webster, that's very important because that has nothing to do with you being in chains. Those chains are financial chains. Keep this in mind, right? Keep this in mind when you hear people talk about people to debt, being entrapped in debt and exploited. Slavery was not just about owning people. It was about owning people by exploiting people to gain the maximum profit. So you own people, you control them. So bring that up to speed. Control people to exploit people to gain the maximum profit. And what you end up with is what we call a modern day contemporary form of slavery. All right? They say the love of money is the root of all evil. That would make greed a very, very deadly sin. But we see what it's done in America, in the Americas. Anybody have any questions? Please press number one. Now, because we're down to 16 minutes. I know sometimes you guys like to wait till the show has to end to ask your question, but it's a good time. You want to ask any questions, share with the audience, because I am not the only orator on the planet. Anybody can share information. It's not it's my show, but it's my show for everybody to speak on. So I just, you know, when there's 16 minutes left, you want to say something, please, you know, press number one. We have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Bro, yes, sir. Bro Loud, what's up?
Hey, I was just wondering, you know, all this different type of punishment or torture that you're talking about, is that a part of the critical race theory? Is that something they teaching in that?
Well, you know, critical, you know, I don't know why they call it critical race theory, but if you're just teaching history of American, then you have to talk about slavery.
Right.
You talk about why these guys committed these acts. And, you know, you might say, oh, they committed these acts to control the population, which I just said, right? That's how you become a man working the field from sun up to sun down, harder than a horse, by you put the fear of God in him, which would be you, the God that he fears. So, you know, but there was some other stuff going on that he was doing, like, what you raping him for? Why are you putting Why you putting pepper in his wounds? You know what I'm saying? You already beat the man to death, up there near the death. Now you putting pepper in his wounds. You want him to heal up and work again. You know, some of the stuff they're doing is just sadistic. You know, it speaks to how monstrous these people were.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, the stuff right. You're going to burn a man over with fire? Come on. What? You have to think, I'm going to put him, I'm going to hang him under a piece of meat that I'm going to cook and the fat's gone. I wouldn't even think of nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? How do you even get to that? How do you figure that, like I'm going to do this to him? Yeah, I'm you know, why? Who gets off burning a man alive?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And why can't right. they see that you shouldn't be holding a man as property, abusing him, abusing the things that he loves, the people that he loves, his children, his wife, and him? Do you think that's not a death sentence? They had death sentences for sodomy and treason. Do you think it's not a death sentence to enslave a man? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Do they not expect to die because of that?
Right.
Really? Are they really surprised that a slave would rise up and kill you? That's
right.
What he's actually supposed to do.
So I'm wondering, since I'm pretty sure most people never heard of these things before, is that part of that new curriculum that they're talking about?
Oh, critical race theory? I don't know. But I think that if you're talking about what happened, is critical race theory deals with what actually occurred during slavery.
Right.
Uh-huh. It's going to have to talk about some of this. Because I'm not explaining why they did it. These authors are saying why they did some of this stuff. Sexual advances.
Right.
Everybody know why you make sexual advances. You know what I mean? You want sex. Whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's two men, two women, a man and a woman, you know what I'm saying? You want to have sex with that person. So, that, you know, can you use that as a weapon? Yes, you can. Can you do it because they fear you? Yes, you can. Some people died rather than let that happen to them. Like they said, these one guys used to wake up, take these guys in the morning. They're going to ask them, do they want something to eat? And what they're trying to get them to eat is a penis. And one guy took it to the head, and they said sometimes guy might be trying to bite somebody's penis off, but you still getting it to the head after you do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's purpose or not, but I'm just saying everybody ain't gonna fall for that. Some people that's not worth living. Slaves jumped off the ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ran away, fought under circumstances against innumerable odds, right? Even though they might die, they still fought. You know, I'm gonna cover that these slave people and how these black people were stronger than they portraying them, because they didn't even get to that part right here. With this thing here, it seemed like they just don't want to make all white people look bad. They were monsters. Just get with it. That's the truth. Keep it moving. If you're not that way now, don't do nothing that's similar to that. You know what I'm saying? If you're not that, you don't have to worry about somebody saying that, you know, they were monsters back in the day, back in during the slavery. If you're not that, you don't have to worry about changing history, nothing like that. But these guys trying to change history and all this nonsense, that's a bad sign. You can't cover up, you know, but, you know, that's like I said, that's like cleaning up a crime scene before you investigate.
Mm-hmm.
The hell are you doing some shit like that? Can't do that. Tell the kids the truth. It's scared these little white kids might grow up and not be like them. You know what I'm saying? They might say, oh, wait a minute. We owe these people something. We've been holding them back for 500 years. Black president and all. Black mayors and all. We still holding them back. And if you think they not, look at all the black towns they destroyed. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of them, and still with all that things, that stuff directly at us, targeting us, These guys scared to write a law that specifically addresses our issue in this country while these people target us in this country, historically. And it's not even a secret. No, man. They write the LGBTQ people getting all these laws passed for how they feel. We just talking about stuff you did to us. They're getting laws for a feeling. Illegal aliens, you know what I mean? Or don't shoot the Asians, mm-hmm. which you shouldn't do. You shouldn't go around shooting people because they're Asian, but damn. The FBI said black people is the most targeted group in America. That's from the FBI. These are actual assaults. Not somebody saying something. Now you ask somebody and they think this is the actual recorded assaults. So, you know, my point is you cannot rename slavery by referring to it as involuntary relocation because it makes no sense. And it fails to capture the atrocities of what took place. Black people were uprooted from everything that they knew and brutally introduced to a cruel master of tyranny and oppression. Teach the truth, and the truth will set them free from all the candy land, happy, singing slave narratives, and the good old master lies. Call a spade and keep it moving. Black children have to deal with being a descendant of shadow slaves, the descendants of people who until very recent times could not drink from the same water fountain as a white person, had to give up their seat on a bus to a white person whose rights were not respected by white people, whose lives are not valued by white people with or without power. We have come a long way, and we still have a long way to go. That's protecting.
Amen. I said amen.
Yeah. As for Texas, you cannot obscure your history of slavery and racism because it has already happened. You can change it. You can change it if you want to. Change what you do from this day forward and allow it to represent what you are today and tomorrow. That's what Texas needs to do. Stop trying to hide the past. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all they need to do. But this is showing you how fake they are, they want to be. You know what I'm saying? They're doing it for this, something that we all know about. What else are they lying about? What else are they willing to lie about? That's my question.
Yeah. Like how they want to make sure less black people vote or less people vote and stuff like that. They still doing the same thing they've been doing for like decades and centuries.
Right.
Trying to limit how many people vote, right?
That's right.
They keep now they every time they say, hey, that's not right because of this, and they say, okay, well, it's not because of that. It's because of this. They changed the reason.
Right.
But they still doing the same thing.
Right. It's because I said so.
They're trying to stop people from voting.
Right. It's because I say so. It is what I say it is because I say that is what it is. That's the we're well on our way to a dictatorship, a full-blown dictatorship. But that's the way these guys are operating. They ain't operating like they're representing us. They have a agenda, and they are representing somebody, but it's not the American people. And white people are going to find, they're going to figure this out. Also, but I'm sure there's some white guys out there that know, hey, something's wrong with this picture. I'm saying these guys keep dictating to us what is real, what is factual, what is going to be accepted and what is not going to be. They ain't asking me nothing. They just dictating it to you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Something's wrong with this picture. And we need to start doing stuff about it. Black people, educate yourself. Stop looking for people to educate you. There's enough information, resources out here for black folks to educate black folks. You just got to take that foot, that step forward. So we run out of time. You want to say something else before I close the show, Q?
No.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for calling in tonight. I want to thank all our listeners, people who called in and listened, people who download and listen tonight and any night of the week that you may do that. I want to continue to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, and Mr. Kenneth Jones, and also the creator. Until next week, each one reach one, each one teach one. And remember, you have to help yourself. It doesn't mean that nobody else can help you, but you have to start helping yourself first. Now, pay attention to the world around you. And if we're going to survive, increase our chances of survival, we have to pay more attention to what's actually happening around us. Until next week, each one reach one. Learn, baby, learn. Good night.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Park without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck on The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.